As the nominee to be the next management guru at the Office of Management and Budget, Beth Cobert will face apathy, Congress, and a host of other challenges. So to make progress on the management agenda, experts say Cobert and the administration at large must take the Goldilocks approach to priorities. Nothing too hard, nothing too soft, but something just right that they can get done. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us with analysis of what Cobert will face if confirmed by the Senate to be the deputy director for management at OMB. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
All right, let's start with Ms. Cobert herself. What about her background? She's a McKinsey consultant. What else?
She is, right, and there's not much else that we know about her. I mean, as you mentioned, she's been with McKinsey for about 30 years, but many of the usual federal procurement performance experts that I've talked with don't really know much about her or really know her. And if you look at her background, there is nothing obvious that says she spent a lot of time or really any time around in the government. So it's unclear how much consulting she did at federal agencies while at McKinsey. Now, OMB Director Sylvia Burwell did email a statement around to the press about Cobert when she was nominated. And basically she says she's done several things around major projects to generate performance improvement through process streamlining, through enhanced customer service. She's deployed in technology improvements, effective marketing programs. So she seems to have all the pieces that you would need to be the DDM. So it's going to be an interesting thing. But so far, you know, so she seems also to have the people part down, which is very important because she's at McKinsey. She ran the pension fund. She was in charge of training of consultants. So that is a major piece of any senior manager in government. Now, but Cobert's nomination does come at a key time for the administration. Obviously, President Barack Obama announced plans for a revised second-term management agenda in July, but so far OMB has offered few details of what that will include, so we should be expecting something in the next few weeks, few months around that. Robert Tobias is the director of the key executive programs at the American University in Washington. He says having steady leadership on the management agenda will become even more important than ever.
I'm hopeful that the person selected is going to be able to get confirmed quickly. My suspicion is that she'll be non-controversial and she'll get confirmed quickly and can really get moving. Second-term administrations start to lose momentum. There's a chance that people stop paying attention. So the only way to overcome that is with a great deal of energy, a great deal of focus, and that can only happen if someone's in the job for a period of time.
Now, Tobias says OMB also needs to name someone to be the new Associate Director of Performance and Personnel. Now, that's the job at OMB that Shelley Metzenbaum held for more than 4 years. If you remember, Shelley Metzenbaum left OMB in May. The Associate Director's job is really the operational arm of much of the management agenda and works with agencies on how they meet the reporting and other priority requirements.
So, Jason, when you were talking with all these experts, what did they recommend that Cobert should do if she's confirmed?
Right. There's several considerations she has to take, and then really the administration more broadly should take. Probably the one I heard most from the experts is about they need to be practical about what priorities they're going to come up with and try not to overreach. Robert Shea is a principal at Grant Thornton and a former OMB official during the George W. Bush administration. He says during the planning for the second term for the president's management agenda, he was reminded by actually a career civil servant of the difference between a first-term priority and a second-term priority.
To start grand new ambitions in the second term, you're just not as likely to get as much done. So you've got to be really focused on what it is you want to achieve in the limited amount of time you have left, knowing also that if there's opposition to what your objectives are, people can slow roll you, knowing that you'll be gone in a matter of years. The other challenge, you know, you have is that those initiatives that have taken hold and are showing some success will have their own set of issues, and keeping people focused on those, increasingly challenged to achieve even more, again, that'll be a big issue.
But Shea is also quick to point out that while timing may be tight, maybe 2 years at best between before you start getting to the lame duck status and elections take over everything, OMB and agencies have important tools that could help push any agenda forward. Shea points to the President's Management Council, which is made up of deputy secretaries, and even the President himself, they can have the power to really focus and energize these priorities. At the same time, it can't just be a top-down approach either. Tim Young is a principal at Deloitte Consulting and a former deputy CIO of the government at OMB under the Bush administration. He says one of the biggest lessons learned is to get the career senior executives involved and motivated at the beginning of any effort. At the same time, Young says OMB can't overlook the importance of winning over the career staff more broadly.
We recognize that there's three groups to agency stakeholders when it comes to management reform. The first group is what I would refer to as the champions, the leaders and the early adopters, right? And these are the people that will embrace what you're trying to do very passionately and they will go after it. And they're usually in a minority relative to all other stakeholders. The second group would be what I would call ambivalent managers. These are people that may like the concept but kind of want to wait and see whether or not it's going to be successful before they embrace it because they want to be associated with something that's successful and not failure. The last group is a key group, the cynics or the stalwarts for status quo. These are individuals who may not want to embrace change because they're not used to it. They don't like it. Most people don't like change anyway. And these are the individuals that are very vocal about their resistance to doing something new, different, better. History, I think, between reinventing government and the president's management agenda from the Bush administration has at least taught me that to focus on the last group, the cynics, is a waste of time because these people aren't going to change their mind. They're not going to be influenced. And so the key is to focus on the first two groups, because if you can get the first two groups to embrace your change, then you've got a majority and you've got momentum and you can marginalize the last group.
Now, Young says OMB also has to ensure there's real measures and metrics and transparency behind these new initiatives about what they're really trying to accomplish. He says having agreed upon measures actually takes the emotion out of the initiatives, meaning it's kind of black or white. Did the agency meet the goals or didn't they? And then there's no arguments and there's no feeling of being, you know, second class or anything like that.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller. So what are some of the common pitfalls that administrations fall into when they get to that second-term management agenda? As we said earlier, they tend to maybe run out of steam a little bit.
Exactly. I think that's why bringing in someone like new, like Beth Kober, could re-energize this. I think there are several common pitfalls. Just to build on what we were talking about earlier, there's always the overreach, trying to do too much while also expecting current priorities to continue. Tim Young from Deloitte calls this the piling on effect, where officials just want to add more and more and more without really giving enough thought to what's already being expected of the workforce. And as we know, it's a tough time for the workforce in many ways. American University's Tobias says OMB needs to address some of the personnel problems created by sequestration.
I'm hopeful that the Obama administration will start paying attention to the fallout from the sequesters. Agencies have been eliminating training, eliminating leadership development programs. It's very hard to have people actually maximize the contributions of those they lead when they don't have the skills to do that. So I'm hopeful that the administration will focus on really providing people with the leadership competencies they need to be successful in this downsized government that we have now.
Now, I've also caught up with Shelley Metzenbaum, the former OMB Associate Director for Performance and Personnel, who just left in May. She tells me by email that Kober will face a daunting challenge of helping agencies stay focused on achieving better outcomes and better service amidst seemingly unending demands for quick responses, occasional crises, and, of course, those persistent budget issues. Now, at the same time, Metzenbaum says there's opportunities for her as well. Kober can build on the strong results-focused foundation established in the first term, where there's an increasing number of federal agencies of becoming to appreciate the value of setting priorities, focusing on outcomes, and assigning responsibility for leadership on specific goals. And obviously, the continued use of goal-focused, data-driven reviews to make priorities, to make progress on those priorities. Now, Tim Young, again, says Kober and the administration more broadly needs to understand the difference between urgent and important priorities, because the payoff for many of these initiatives are years away and will come after the political appointees have left office.
In order for a reform agenda to be successfully implemented, it cannot be political in nature. It can't be something that is left of center or right of center politically in terms of the nature of the reform. I say that not because the PMA was a Republican initiative or Vice President Gore's reinventing government was a Democratic initiative, but it has to be a good government initiative. If it's not a good government initiative and it's politically charged, then the people that are almost entirely responsible for overseeing the implementation of it, which are the career civil servants, will have tissue rejection, for lack of a better phrase, on the agenda. And so it needs to be in their best interest for it to have a sticking effect in terms of being able to be implemented over a 4 or potentially an 8-year time frame.
Now, Grant Thornton's Robert Shea adds that having so many new deputy secretaries and assistant secretaries for management coming in all at once as well will also impact how quickly this agenda takes hold. Both Shea and Robert Tobias both say that it's going to be interesting to watch Colbert's confirmation hearing, as well as how the Obama administration builds on the work they did over the last 4 years to drive performance and innovation. So something we will obviously be following closely.
All right, Jason, thanks so much.
Thank you.